Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
No. Jesse just picked up a can of fizzy water. Let me just read this review to you that we had, because you do like eating food and opening cans and doing sound effects.
So I do. Was this going to be a one-star review?
No, it's a five. It's a five-star review. And the name is Nomo ASMR. and the heading of the review is "The Sounds of Eating." Great comedic political podcast featuring the sounds of host Jesse eating and drinking on many occasions. 5 stars for making me laugh in the morning, 0 stars for the ASMR. So if you're going to open that can, do it. Don't. I'm going to edit this out. Going to edit this out.
Are you really? I don't think you are, Reese. What does ASMR stand for you again?
Audio sex manipulation, Reese.
That's right. You remembered it.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. How could I forget? My name's in it. So, this is day 7.
Jesus.
I'm tired. Are you tired?
I'm exhausted. I just finished shooting and editing a feature film in 2 weeks. I'm ridiculously tired. Yeah.
I'm also tired. Just sleepy Reese. Sleepy Reese, making bad decisions.
That could be our next podcast. Sleepy Reese and Sleepy Jesse, making sleepy decisions in sleepy time land.
It's just us making bad decisions on the internet.
I was just going to sleep
while we're
just
tired.
Snoring for an hour. Yeah.
I didn't mean to buy that. I was really tired like that. Anyway, this isn't that. This is Canadian Spies Are Boring.
Canadian Spies Are Boring.
We're 7 days in. We have...
You're welcome.
There's only 3 days left. So
I'm very sad.
If you're going to miss a daily spy story in your feed, then I'm sorry. We can't give that to you after this date because nothing else happened. I'm joking. Lots of other stuff did happen.
We'll just save it for next year.
And again, this show, we're not historians. We're not experts. We're going to get stuff wrong.
We'll certainly pronounce things wrong. If our audience still thinks that we're historians and this is an educational podcast. No,
but hopefully it'll entertain you enough that you go off and read a book by an actual expert or... watch a documentary.
I love that we have to put this disclaimer on our show. Like,
yeah. Warning.
Frequently. Yeah.
So this episode is called The Far Right Mole. And that's not sort of small mammal with far right tendencies.
That'd be amazing to watch.
It's a mole in the sense of a spy mole.
Right. No, I picked that up. Thank you.
Have you ever heard of Grant Bristow?
No. Hold on. Grant Bristow? Sounds like something
Grant
from
Bristow. It
sounds like something. Oh, Grant? Like Grant. This is a name?
Yeah.
I heard like Grand Bristow. Like I thought it was going to be like some sort of pub in England that had pillars and was just quite grand.
There's a brand of gravy called Bistow. So it could have been Grand Bistow. It's like gold-plated gravy.
It's just
gravy with golden flakes in.
Yeah.
Like, is that was there a vodka with golden flakes? Was there a drink with golden flakes in?
I've had it. Goldschlager.
Yeah. And it cuts the inside of your throat so you get drunk faster. It's a wonderful invention.
Yeah.
ASMR. Mm. Every time you do ASMR noises for that listener who still gave us a 5-star review despite obviously hating.
What's their name?
Nomo ASMR.
Nomo ASMR.
I think they created an account just to put that review on.
This is for you.
I'm going to edit this out. Now I've got to think of creative sounds to put over the top of you doing that. Grant Bristow began his career as a private investigator, so he was...
You know what it is?
You don't care about Grant, do you?
I don't. So, do you know, I figured it out. For Nomo ASMR, thank you for making an account. Thank you for giving us a 5-star review. But I think I've got it. So you gotta like when dealing with clients, you know, clients often don't really know what they want, so they don't know how to articulate it. So you kind of have to guess for them. And I'm guessing Nomo ASMR. It's not that they don't want me to do ASMR on drinking beverages and coffee. They want different ASMR. I'm gonna have to bring in like a steak.
No, I think
some cheese bread and like maybe some like gravy, and you can hear the pouring the sounds of the gravy over top of the steak and then chewing the steak. I think he just wants more. If it is a he, it could be she. They just want more of ASMR, like better ASMR. They don't want bad ASMR. They want better ASMR.
So you think they're playing hard to get? What they actually want is more.
Yep.
I think what's happened is you've taken the information where they quite clearly express their opinion and doubled down on your own opinion more in a flagrant attempt to try and not be wrong and think that ASMR is fun.
I can see you
can't force ASMR on people who don't want to hear the sounds of
I can and I have and I will. And that's just
well, you technically you did, but I will not let it continue.
Just with more Aaron O'Toole banana bread.
More banana bread. So anyway.
So fine, tell me about this
Grant Bristow.
Grant Bristow.
So he was born in 1958. He was a private investigator. He's still alive. He was a private investigator.
Okay.
And he was working in Toronto in the early to mid 80s as a private investigator, which again sounds like a great TV show. And he was really good at covert infiltrations and intelligence gathering as a private, you know, you go like, hey, I think my husband's cheating on me. I'll go undercover in the country club. Your husband is cheating on you. It's with the lady who, I don't know, runs the marketing for the country club. And there you go. And he would have dressed in like golf gear and done a few rounds to find that information. That's just a case I made up.
I like it.
Yeah. If you had to infiltrate somewhere, what would you like to infiltrate to find information from?
Air Force One. I just want to see what kind of food they have on there.
Happy Meals. Just Happy Meals. With toys from the mid-90s. They've got a warehouse full of them.
Does that mean the Happy Meals are that old? Like they've just been sitting in Air Force One for...
No, no, just the toys. The president doesn't want new toys. He wants old toys from the 80s and the 90s. They don't make any more. I used to have a French fries that transformed into a robot. They don't do those. Anyway, we're talking about spies. Our new podcast, Happy Meals, the discontinued Happy Meals that we miss. Anyway, so in 1986, he started to work with CSIS, which is the Canadian spy agency.
Yep.
And he was hired to perform security work at their embassy, which was the target of lots of demonstrations. He was hired to work at the South African embassy, which was the target of demonstrations because of the apartheid policy. So
the what policy?
Apartheid.
Oh, right. Of course. That thing.
Yeah.
What is it?
You have no idea. Jesus Christ, Jesse.
What? What's an apartheid?
The apartheid system was basically a fundamentally...
You know how this show works.
Have you heard of South Africa, the nation?
Yes.
Nelson Mandela?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he overcame apartheid to allow everyone in South Africa to live in an equal nation. So what happened was South Africa was built structurally to be racist, where white people were in charge and black people couldn't be in charge.
I mean, that's pretty much everywhere for hundreds of years.
Yeah, but it was still prevalent right up to the 90s.
Oh, wow.
So essentially it was like the Deep South pre-Civil War, where it was enshrined in law, essentially, that... they were like, you know, white people had different rules from black people.
Wow.
So so as you can imagine, in Ottawa, there were a lot of protests at their embassy. So,
right.
Okay.
So Grant Bristow was hired by the South African embassy to basically provide security to stop the protesters.
Okay. To stop the protesters?
Well, to protect the embassy against the protesters. So he then was actually approached by the... by embassy officials, the South African embassy officials, and was asked to gather intelligence by them on anti-apartheid demonstrators individually. So the South African embassy was like, who are these people? Why are they coming here? Where do they live? What do they eat?
Okay. You know,
those kind of things. Just because they wanted to try and undermine them and stop them from coming back. But he was opposed to it because a foreign government was essentially asking him to spy on Canadians. And he was a Canadian. So instead, he went to CSIS and told them.
Wow.
What's up, and that's how they recruited him.
Oh, cool.
Because they were like, oh, this is a trustworthy fella.
That's exactly what they said.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's a shiny apple. Come and work for us at CSIS. So he didn't actually work for them. He was more of like a freelance kind of... It was kind of a freelance
gig. He worked for apples. I mean...
Yeah, yeah. Don't just pay me with fruit. That's fine. So the Canadian government then expelled one of the African officials and prohibited them from re-entry to Canada and designated them a persona non grata.
What does that mean?
I think it's a tasty meal.
That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like more ASMR.
Latin for person not welcome.
Person not welcome at the dinner table?
No, person not welcome to Canada. Persona non grata.
No. It's a very fancy name for get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So now this is the interesting thing. So
oh, thank God.
I'm kind of in shock that you didn't know what apartheid was, but
I don't know.
I don't know.
This is anyway, really? Are you really in shock?
I'm sure we'll get some reviews from this. have you ever left North America?
I haven't left my bedroom. This is the first time in like a month I've gone outside. You're
missing out on quite a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Have you seen a giraffe?
I've heard of them.
Yeah.
They sound delicious.
They're really good.
Yeah. They're tasty.
They're really good. Especially in a hot dog. So.
Did you say especially in a hot pocket?
No, in a hot dog.
Giraffe-flavored hot pockets? I'd have one of those. Just saying. I'd give that a shot.
Giraffe madras.
A what?
Flavor. Madras is a kind of curry.
Oh. Listener, would you try a giraffe hot pocket? You know you would.
Giraffe madras. Spicy giraffe.
Spicy giraffe hot pocket.
Yeah.
And hot pocket, if you're listening, you're welcome.
Yeah, yeah. You could have that one for free.
We just want credit in the form of both Reese and our faces on the hot pocket box. With no explanation whatsoever. Just like spicy giraffe hot pocket, and there's Reese and Jesse's faces on the box for no reason.
So...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Back to the learning.
Back to the learning. back to the reason we're here.
Right.
So Grant was kind of...
Grant was persona non gratis?
No.
No.
No, the person who... the South African government official he reported as one of the spying Canadians.
That makes way more sense.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
He's in the room.
Physically.
So... there's a lot of controversy over whether Grant Bristow was undercover the whole time for CSIS or whether he actually used that as an opportunity to promote far-right activities in Canada.
What?
And I was looking at it, and there's a lot of speculation and a lot of – although he denies it, some of the actions were taking the role a bit too far, if you know what I mean. He was in terms of going undercover, he became a bit of a method actor, if you see what I mean.
I don't. Can you give me some examples?
Ever seen the film Donnie Brasco?
Oh, God, a long time ago.
Well, you know when someone goes undercover and they become so entrenched in the role and the part that they start doing things that everyone else is doing around them. So even though they're out there undercover.
So what was he doing?
Well, so. You have to wait. I'm not going to tell you that.
Oh, fine. Okay,
so anyway. So he was introduced to a far-right activist called Max French, and he told...
These names, man.
I know. And
what? Max French sounds like a comic book character.
Max French.
He does.
By day, mild-mannered. Far-right Nazi activist.
Is he a Nazi activist?
By night, a sleeping far-right Nazi activist. So he was a far-right activist. And
Nazi, though?
And Bristow was
in... Holly, he was a Nazi? We don't know.
Well, he was far-right. He wasn't a member of the German Nazi party of the 1930s and 40s.
Claiming someone's a Nazi...
Sorry. He wasn't a Nazi. He was a far-right activist.
There is a difference. No.
He didn't have a uniform. That's it. Yet.
Or a pointy hat.
Bristow reported this to CSIS, and CSIS basically said...
Thanks, here's an apple.
No, well, they did. They said, well, we want you to spy on the Canadian far right.
But he himself was far right.
No, he wasn't.
No, he...
That's Max French. I was talking about Grant Bristow, the spy who...
Yeah, didn't you say Grant Bristow was far right?
No, well, we'll get to that. Okay. This is the question, was he...
He was introduced. Donnie Brasco'd.
Interesting. So essentially, because he became friends with French, and CSIS knew he was good at going undercover, they were like, "Be his friend, get involved in the far right. Let us know what they're up to."
Wow.
So,
okay, this is finally getting interesting.
But he knew nothing about the far right, so the CSIS gave him a crash course induction into the far right in Canada, which is a hell of a slideshow, I imagine. imagine being asked to make that instructional video.
Oh my God, that'd be
so hilarious. You're going undercover with the far right in Canada.
Reese, please make this
video. Here's what you need to know.
Please make this video.
I don't know where to start.
Anyway. Just call up the far right and ask for some footage.
So they basically...
1-800-FAR-RIGHT-CANADA.
That's not...
It's probably just 1-800-FAR-RIGHT. I don't think Canada's just extra numbers at the end after it's already started ringing. You're still typing out Canada. Yeah.
Exactly. Which is what happens with my phone. The light sensor's funny, and I keep dialing with my face while I'm on the call. So, anyway.
Sorry, I face-dialed you.
Face-dialed you while I was talking to you. So he then became part of something that became known as Operation Governor, which began in the autumn of 1988. And essentially, he was.
I want that job.
Operation Governor.
No, I want the job of coming up with those names. I want to get a position in the government, and my only job is to come up with names for stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's it. What are we going to call this? Give it to Jesse.
Yeah,
he'll figure it out. I got it.
Operation Beaver Endorsement. Operation Camera Potato. I think you'd be better at that job than me.
I don't know, man. All right, tell me more about Operation Camera Potato.
Operation / Governor. So he got in with the Nationalist Party of Canada, and essentially, he became friends with the leader of the party, Don Andrews.
How did he get into the party?
He just became friends with them and just hang out with them. I mean, this is like a fringe political group. If somebody else turns up, they get a free cup of tea.
Okay.
So, do you know what he did? He credited his friendship with them by mirroring, which is an intelligence technique where you mimic the target's thoughts and feelings to gain trust.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So they say something, the next day you repeat it back to them as if you believe it too, and they're like, oh, that's a great idea.
Also like putting dogs in burlap sacks and beating them against trees. What?
Exactly.
Well, I thought I was alone on that. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, come on and join our party, man. It's
And then he went deeper. So then he got invited to attend a welcome
and
home.
And then he went deeper.
Well, he got he attended a welcome home party for Wolfgang Drogue, who was a U.S.
These names are amazing.
He was returning
Wolfgang Drogue,
who was a far right activist who was returning
from the U.S. Sounds like a wizard.
Well, he was returning from a U.S. prison after serving time for cocaine trafficking and a weapons charge, and they threw him a welcome home party.
Because he has all the coke. He knows where it is.
He's a German-born Canadian, a white supremacist, a neo-Nazi, and founding leader of the Heritage Front.
Oh, my God.
So Drogue helped...
What's the Heritage Front? Although I can guess.
Heritage Front is a far-right organization. We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Drogue sounds like... Sounds like he's...
Like an evil wizard.
No, he's not afraid of anything. Like, he helped... He created Operation Red Dog... and he tried to invade Dominica to overthrow his government. And he used to be an organizer for the Ku Klux.
Operation Red Dog is a much better name than Operation Governor.
It is, but...
Like, come on. It's not as good as Operation Phone Potato.
And he also organized for the Ku Klux Klan in British Columbia.
This guy's a real dick.
Yeah, he's up there. So with
dicks.
Some of the biggest
Of the big dicks.
Some of the worst dicks.
There we go.
That's better. but what happened was Bristow realized that while the other friend he'd made was involved in the far right, that Drogue was what he described as the real thing.
He switched friends.
No, he just became, it was like, you're my best friend too. I can have two best friends. And he made him a bracelet at his welcome home party. To help fund him reaching out and kind of build his relationships and fund his goals with being part of the far right, CSIS paid Bristow about $50,000, which was worth even more in the 80s.
I've heard that the dollar does rise as the years go on.
Yeah, so that was like a million billion. as time progressed, Bristow became eventually... the security chief of the Nationalist Party. So he wasn't just a member, he was the chief head of security for the Nationalist Party while still being paid by CSIS as a spy.
Amazing.
So he was
getting paid from both sides.
Well, no, he was I don't know if he was getting paid to be part of the Nationalist Party, but
probably, I imagine.
But he was in charge of their security. So
that's not a job people often do for free. Just saying.
So, but in his own words, in 2005, Bristow said, "I was keeping watch over violent hate groups. It was the right thing to do." From this, and he says that he screened and collected detailed personal information on all new members, and then copied and forwarded it all to CSIS.
Wow!
So, as head of security, he knew everything.
Right.
So CSIS knew everything.
This would make an amazing like miniseries.
So, never guess who invited all of the fringe political groups to a big party. Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi.
Oh, wow.
In 1989, to send celebrations for the anniversary of his revolution, all expenses paid. So they went. Their flight to Libya, first they went to Rome, where they were screened by Italian intelligence officers and who would try to get them to convince convince them not to go to Libya. And then they arrived in Tripoli. With other extremists from all around the world. But it was it invited far left and far right movements.
It must have been a fun place to be.
Yeah, and he gave them $1,000 US dollars as a gift as well.
What's that coming down the driveway, Reese?
It's me with a fresh delivery from the ad man. Come smell it.
I will come smell it. I love how your ads smell.
Oh, golly, it's fresh.
I'm gonna stuff it in my face.
Fresh ads.
Smack me in the face with it. Yeah, just the way I like it, ads.
And then they were stopped again in Chicago because Drogue, having been previously arrested and banned from entering the United States, was detained. And Bristow was also detained and strip searched. And he was furious, apparently, because he was worried. If CSIS knew he was there, why didn't they let them pass through because he was worried about being caught. So
right.
And he basically was just quite angry at his handlers and said that they were using him as an expendable pawn.
Expendable
pawn.
See, I heard porn. You said pawn.
Pawn.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're saying
pawn.
There.
Pawn. Expendable pawn. Now, and this is, we mentioned the Heritage Front.
Hold on, say pawn again, just in...
Porn.
Right. Now say porn.
Porn.
Say pawn.
Porn.
Say porn.
Porn.
Yeah, okay, please continue.
Cool. Anything else you want me to say?
Pawn porn.
Pawn porn. Anyway. Come on, we're talking about the far right. Anyway, so... Drogue and Bristow, we talked about the Heritage Front as a far-right organization. Bristow was actually one of the founding members.
Oh, wow.
So he'd been feeding all this information to CSIS. All this had been going on, but he was actually, because he was at the center role, he became so involved, he helped them found a new organization altogether.
Do you think that any of this bled into his, like, his psyche? Do you think he actually started believing any of this shit?
Well, but this wasn't long after... he'd felt like they were treating him like he was expendable.
Oh.
So I don't know. So
at some point he's like, fuck you, CSIS.
But obviously, the thing is, a lot of this information is still classified. CSIS haven't shared their side of the story. So it's still... I haven't found enough information to say, to work out whether he was just in so far he had to be part of the founding, or whether he had turned his back on them and was just like, well, fuck you, I'm
gonna... This honestly would make an amazing show.
Don't you think so? It's very ambiguous. You know, he was involved in helping found like a horrible...
You don't like TV, do you?
I do like TV. I just don't really watch it.
Not really, yeah.
Well, okay. I do, sometimes. Not always. Maybe.
Okay, please continue.
Anyway.
every time I mention the television show idea, you just keep talking. I guess it's not a great idea.
It's just a lot of work. So Bristow claims that he was using the confidence of Drogue to convince him not to perform illegal and violent acts. And as the front began to grow, Bristow was still given information to CSIS. One included of an eco-terrorism plot against North American agriculture being promoted by the American Aryan Nation.
Wow.
So they're going to do some kind of eco-terror plot to destroy American agriculture. It sounds like a Bond villain thing.
I mean, yeah. What would the name of that Bond villain be?
Drogue.
No, you have to have like a Bond villain name.
Baron.
Like Mr. Teeth or something. Or maybe not Mr.
Baron
Teeth.
Baron von Payne. And ooh. Baron von Payne. It's not spelt like the word pain. It's a play on...
Right.
How it sounds. And you've always got to... Bond villains have to have a disfigurement.
Right.
Which I've always found uncomfortable because there's a correlation in Bond films between disfigured bad guys and bad guys.
So what would his disfigurement be?
His disfigurement would be that he has no disfigurement and it doesn't quite fit the brand.
Okay.
There we go. Anyway, it's Baron von Payne, no disfigurement. But he does have a really big gun.
And he dresses nicely.
He's immaculately dressed, but he's got a shit car.
Okay, so there it is. Yeah, yeah. There had to be something. Just a K car.
So because they were talking about this eco-terrorism plot to destroy agriculture in North America, which is just in off the charts, it was kind of demonstrating the extremes that Drogue would go to and, you know, kind of justifying this mission on behalf of CSIS, really, I guess. Bristow was then introduced to other people, this guy called Terry Long, who was from the Canadian chapter of the Aryan Nations. And they got on really well instantly because he used his mirroring technique. Either he used his mirroring technique or he was just having a good time. We don't know. And Long passed on his membership list of 180 people. So Bristow then passed that on to CSIS. So they knew all of the Aryan Nation members.
Wow.
That were on there. And... there was a far... He went with Drogue and some other people to a far-right symposium in Germany.
Okay.
And he went to security. He videoed and photo documented the conference and what was happening there and who was talking, and then passed all that on to CSIS as well.
Amazing.
The conference was raided by German police.
Was raided?
Raided by German police, yeah.
So was the German police aware of his position?
No, they escaped. It says, yeah.
Oh,
so
cool.
They escaped because maybe they would have blown the lid off it all if they did find out.
Hmm.
So, and it just keeps going. He went to an Aryan Nation combat in Idaho to help kind of find out which Canadians were there. And basically, he demonstrated how interconnected the American far right and the Canadian far right were. They basically were kind of, there was no border really between their movements. And then,
hate knows no bounds.
Yeah, you can't put a border in hate. Anyway, can't put passport control on hate.
Hate brings people together.
So then, on August the 12th, 1994, I was 10 years old.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. Well, I was 9, getting ready for my 10th birthday.
Exciting.
Probably asked for like a Ninja Turtle or something. Bristow was contacted by the Toronto Sun reporter, Bill Dunphy. Who informed him he was about to go to press with a story about Bristow being a CSIS agent and exposing his far-right activity.
Who was this?
This was a reporter who'd basically sleuthed or been tipped off on the story.
And was he a far-right reporter?
No, he worked for the Toronto... Is the Toronto Sun a far-right newspaper?
I'm trying to think. It might be.
I know what the Toronto Sun is, and I don't think it is.
No, it isn't? Okay.
No.
I know. So that's just shitty. Like, why would you do that?
Because he's a reporter, and this is the CSIS. This is a spy agency spying on Canadians. So it was a big story. I mean, understandably, they were going to try and destroy all agriculture in North America. But it's newsworthy.
Yeah, but...
Anyway. So what happened was, because of the violent tendencies of his former target/friends, Bristow asked for it not to be published, but he insisted and went to press 2 days later. He's like, I don't give a shit if you get murdered by Nazis. Do it.
Wow.
I'm going to do it. This is going to make my career.
What a dick.
I know. Yeah. Imagine my LinkedIn if I do this. You might be dead.
So what happened?
But I'll get 13 likes. So he realized he had to get himself out of Toronto and his family, and he asked CSIS to hide him. He was first moved to Jasper Jasper's in Alberta, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then more detailed plans, and eventually he was resettled in Alberta. But then he returned to Toronto in 1995 for a funeral and was caught by the media, and they took photos of him.
Fuck the media.
Yeah.
God damn.
So the CSIS crisis team had to have a meeting to deal with the Toronto Star reporter's questions.
Reporters are such intense assholes, man. Like, they're just...
And they published the identities and photos of Bristow and his wife. So they decided just to return home and hope for the best. And he hasn't been retaliated on yet, but he's kind of trying to let go of his past, apparently. And he published a book about it and everything. So a watchdog report on it said that Risto's actions kind of tested the limits of what was acceptable as an undercover agent, because he was so Donnie Brasco'd.
Right.
And also, the angle of the Toronto Sun was saying, well, Bristow was so involved in these Nazi organizations or far-right organizations, and... CSIS were giving him money, so CSIS were funding neo-Nazis.
Fuck off. Oh,
that was the kind
God.
Of angle they were going for.
Of course
for.
That's the angle they're going
but
for.
But he didn't work for them. He was being paid as a freelance spy to do it. So
God, I hate reporters, man.
Yeah.
They're not reporters. Reporters aren't so bad. I hate... What's the word? It's like the evil fucking reporters. The ones that, like... There's a name for it. Not propaganda. They're the... They are the paparazzi. Paparazzi. The people who will do anything for ratings and for, you know, for a good scoop that doesn't actually
something
help anything.
A good front page that sells papers.
Yeah, that sells papers, but it doesn't actually help anybody's lives.
No.
And it just puts other people's lives in danger. I hate it so much.
I saw a news article, and it was... It was Al Pacino goes out for coffee, can barely hold a cup. And what it was just a man in his 80s trying to drink coffee with a mask and trying to work around his mask. But he was old because he's in his 80s.
Is Al Pacino was in it? In his 80s? Yeah.
So the headline, yes, it was Al Pacino, but all you could see was a man in his 80s just trying to have a cup of coffee around wearing a mask.
Like, come on.
And they took photos of him and like, look at Al Pacino.
Yeah, that's...
He can't work coffee and masks.
That's...
And
it's just like... That's shit, man.
Yeah. It's like the worst... Just let him be an old man and go and help him. Like, put your camera down and go, hey, Al, do you want some help?
Yeah, no, paparazzis are fucking evil people. I want to make a show called Paparazzi. I've actually thought of this. Where we find actual paparazzi and then we paparazzi the fuck out of them. We follow them around. We take photos of them and their family, them in their backyards. We chase them wherever they are. We're taking photos of them no matter where they go. And we never leave them alone 24/7. I think that would make a fascinating reality television show.
I know someone who nearly committed suicide because the paparazzi were following him around and he was secretly gay. And they knew he was secretly gay, and they were telling him that they were going to publish a headline really soon that would have compromised his, you know, his kind of life and his career because he wasn't ready to let the world know.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, he pushed him to near suicide.
Jesus Christ!
They didn't care.
No, there was my old friend Mike and me had this plan. If we were ever become, this is when we were kids, of course, we're like, oh, we're going to become famous someday. And if the paparazzi ever comes at us, like, how to
deal with... And you ended up with this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, life dream complete, accomplished. Da-da-da-da. Anyway, like, if you are surrounded by paparazzi who are asking you questions, like, you've got, like, 20 microphones shoved in your face and people asking you questions. I think, to this day, one of the funniest ways you could deal with that... Okay, is by being very upfront and active with them in a very in a way that seems like you're interacting, but you're not. So like, instead of like, no, leave me alone, and like trying to hide your face and get away from them, no, like go up to them, stand up front, and here I am. Okay, I'm ready to answer questions, and you've got like 20 microphones of people shouting, and all you do is you are determined. Like, okay, I'm not leaving this spot. I'm not. I'm going to stand here for 48 fucking hours if I have to. And you just look around while everyone's pointing, and then you point to someone. One of the reporters, I'm like, you. And they'll ask you a question, and you just listen to the question, and you don't answer, and then you look at someone else in the crowd, and you point to them, and you're like, you. And they'll answer. They'll ask you their question, and you just listen to their question, and you point to look at someone else, and you're like, you. And you just do this for hours. You don't actually answer a single question. You just keep pointing at different reporters saying, you, what's your question? What's your question? What's your question? And you never answer a question. Like, stand there and do that. Like 20 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours, until they all fuck off. Just
you've really mentally prepared yourself for fame. In a way that it's hard to conceive. Like
what they do? What could they possibly do if they...
I don't know. They probably just go. Has a weird thing.
Did that, okay. 100% of the time. I mean, every single solitary time that the paparazzi bugged you, you did that. You're like, okay, here we go. We're doing this again, right? And you just stand there, you plant your feet, and you just say, you, what's your question? What's your question? But you don't answer a thing, and you don't leave. And you just do that over and over and over again. Do you think if you were part of the paparazzi and you saw me, would you come running up to try? Like, if you went through that 7 times with me?
I got a much simpler solution. Super soaker full of piss.
Ooh.
That would just be way easier, way less of your time. Just super soak, fill it up. They're outside, okay. Just going to drink a gallon of water. Fill up your super soaker. Just squirt them with piss as you walk out. They'll go just as quickly.
I'm not going to lie, that is actually entertaining to think about.
And then when they go, right, your assignment, you got to go and take photos of Jesse. Oh, I'm not the piss guy. So they just hate coming to cover you. And then you sneak up on them. Like, so they're all there in a bush waiting for you to come out of your house. And you come and go, what's going on, guys? We're just waiting for Jesse to come out. And he went, he's already here. And the next thing they know is just cold piss in their face.
Cold? What?
Because you're not going to... You want to... Well, it's not fresh. I mean, you stored it overnight. You can warm it up if you want.
I really want us to become super famous so that we can do shit like this.
Just so you can, yeah. I mean, it's technically assault, but I mean, that's what they're doing, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Did you get your photo? By the way, you smell of piss. Good luck. So anyway, back to Grant Bristow.
Oh, okay.
This is a long episode.
But the question is, you know, was he involved? I mean, the thing is, when they recruited him, he was doing security for the apartheid regime. So he obviously wasn't politically bothered by a racist government and doing work for them, and then came forward to report them when they wanted to spy on Canadians. But he was fine to work for them in a security sense. So the question is that, you know, obviously he put himself in immense danger to get involved, but when he was there, he was involved. He was very, very involved. So is it a case of he started out doing the right thing and just got pulled in a little bit too much? Or was it all honest? Or was he, you know, actually just, you know, what kind of mole was he? How involved was he? Again, we'll probably never know. Because CSIS aren't going to tell the truth. It's just we only really have his word on a lot of the activities and stuff. But
I mean, thankfully, CSIS isn't going to let us know. Otherwise, they'd be doing a bad job.
It's the definition of a bad CSIS. Yeah. Just an update. What have we been up to this week? So anyway, did you like that story?
I did. I did very much. Yeah, that was... I kept picturing like this would make a really good television show. Like, I really do think that.
What would you call it? Yeah, you're fizzling with creativity around this idea.
No, I don't know.
Plastic Nazi.
Plastic Nazi. Oh, that's actually...
Thank you.
Yep, that's good.
Yep,
I'll go with that.
You do the operation names. I'll do the titles of TV shows.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Anyway, right, I'm going to go and piss in a super soaker and wait for the press to arrive.
I'll let you know when they're here.
Imagine if Trudeau did that one of his press conference. I'm calling an election. And by the way,
it's not my piss either.
It's the piss of a deputy minister. I couldn't go. I was too nervous.
Too excited.
Too excited. Oh, God. I'm not making a t-shirt of Justin Trudeau erect pissing into a soak.
Oh, why not? I love her new t-shirt, says, by the way.
The hole is too small.
I love our new t-shirt, Seduced by Ottawa, by the way.
I want that to become a thing.
So do I.
Yeah, yeah. We should.
If you're involved
in tourism in Ottawa and you want me and Jesse to come and do a Seduced by Ottawa podcast special, we will do it. If you're not involved,
we should do a limited series run called Seduced by Ottawa.
It's just stories from Ottawa. Well, it'd be funny. We can go there and be seduced by Ottawa, like try all the food, go to the museums.
I think that'd be great.
Jump on the beds of a hotel.
It's the montage
in my head. Ride a bike. I'm on the handlebars. You're riding the bike. This is a long episode.
This is a long episode.
Bye, everyone.
That's it. We're done.
See you soon.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, dear listener, do you enjoy listening to us ramble incoherently about Canadian politics and history? Boy, do we have a special fucking treat for you. We've got our first ever official live show at a bar.
It's at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street in Halifax on Sunday, May the 26th at 8 p.m. And if you go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, if you look at the banner at the top, it will take you to the tickets so that you can book a ticket and come and spend some quality time. It is going to be a very intimate affair. There are like only about 50 tickets available.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to drink a lot. We're going to quiz. Reese is going to quiz me at the end, but he's also going to quiz the audience and see if they know more than I do. And any alcohol you buy, Reese and I, we promise to drink it, no matter how much it is. If you want to hold our hair while we barf in the plants outside of the bar, we'll do that for you.
So go to CanadianPoliticsIsBoring.com, click the banner at the top, and on Sunday, May the 26th, at Two Crows Brewing on Brunswick Street, we will see you there.